Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. And on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And great multitudes gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30." When you stand at Capernaum and you look toward the Sea of Galilee as the sun is going down in the west, it's a beautiful sight. This would have been the perspective of Jesus as he sat up on the beach. Later, he goes out onto a boat. And this would have been the perspective of those who were listening to him. We find as they look at the Sea of Galilee, indeed a very beautiful setting. And as we consider, this is Capernaum. This is the home of Jesus, where he hung his hat for a while. And this place, Capernaum, this is an artist rendering of, based upon the archaeological finds of the foundations of houses and so forth, they conjectured that it would look something similar to this, far as buildings were concerned. Notice all the flat roofs. This is today in regards to the small area here of Capernaum. You'll notice the building to the lower right about 4 or 5 o'clock. That is the White Synagogue. That was actually about a 2nd century synagogue. But it's built upon the foundation of basalt, where the another synagogue was built, and that was during the time of the first century, during the time of Jesus. So during that very area, that very spot, Jesus and the disciples would attended synagogue there, living in Capernaum. The different looking, kind of like a helicopter pad landing there that you see, that's actually a church. And it's built over what they believe was St. Peter's house. But yet a very beautiful scene. You can see all the foundations of the other houses that were there. And it's interesting that as they dig in those areas there, they find lots of fishing equipment, and lots of hooks and so forth. They were fishermen there. And remember that Peter, James, and John were indeed that fishermen. Capernaum is located on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and it's in a beautiful area there, and this is the setting of our story in Matthew the 13th chapter. Now, as we've read through Matthew verses 13, verses 3 through 9, this is the parable of the sower, and most all of us are very familiar with this. I think Brother Phil last Sunday night made reference to this story. And it is a story that is greatly encouraging to us as children of God because it teaches us a lot about parables. If you'll notice with me beginning at verse 10, the text says, "And the disciples came to and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he goes on to explain, verse 16, 'Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" There are things that are revealed in this parable that give us the key to understanding other parables. So this morning, as we look briefly at this great parable, I hope that it would be helpful to you, encouraging to you, and hopefully, as you study other parables, it will give you some insight. Well, the first thing that we see in this is the sower. There's a sower that goes and he's sowing seed. We would call that broadcasting the seed. That is, to take the seed and dip in a handful and then scatter it, throw it, to broadcast it out. And the story here that the sower, we find from the interpretation that is listed a little bit later in this text, is Jesus Christ. He is the great sower. It is Jesus who is not only the Word, but He comes spreading the good news, the gospel, and He spreads the Word throughout. We find that each of us as Christians, and I hope what we will learn from this, that we too will spread the gospel, spread the seed of God's Word, and that is our responsibility as His people. Well, we look at this, and we certainly understand from this parable that the seed is the Word of God. And it's important for us to understand that this seed is only productive when it is sown. If it's left in the barn, so to speak, or if it's left in the sack, there's no spreading of the Word, then there's no produce that comes from the Word. We also would understand that the seed must be planted into the hearts of men and women. The great story that is told in this parable has to do with the four different heart conditions, the four different soils, and they each represent different kinds of hearts. So a couple of things. One, when we go out and teach the world, we will find one of these four kinds of hearts. Secondly, those that are present today, each and every one of us, each of us has one of these four hearts. And so when we read this great parable, when we study a little bit more about this great parable, it will help us to understand our own hearts and the hearts of others. No, not that we can read people's hearts, but we will know their hearts by the fruits or the lack of the fruits that they produce. We also understand from God's Word in Isaiah 55, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." The great lesson that we need to learn too about the sowing of the seed into the hearts of men and women, that the Word will not return into God void. It will accomplish what God intended. Now here is the trick of it all. God simply asks us to sow the seed. It is God who gives the seed its power. It is God who gives the increase. So sometimes we get a little bit discouraged because we may spread the seed or sow the seed into people's hearts and we don't see any results. And that discourages us from sowing the seed anymore. But please understand, that's not our job. Our job is just to sow the seed. We tell people what God's Word is. It is God who brings forth the increase. But there's someone else that is active as well, and that is the devil. So we'll see that as we study through these great soils. Let's go ahead and read verses 18 through 23 as well, and we'll get the interpretation of this great parable. Verse 18, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. It's a great thing that we have the interpretation of this great parable. As I said earlier, it is the key to understanding other parables. But let's put these together, both the parable and the interpretation, and see what we can learn for ourselves today. First of all, the first heart. That is the seed that is sown beside the road. And when we look at that, the text says it does not understand. The one that hears it doesn't understand it. Now, why is that? Well, the wayside of the road, or alongside of the road, is a trampled down, hardened soil. And my guess, all of us have at some point in time planted some kinds of seeds, grass seeds or whatever sort of things, or plants for the garden and so forth. And if that seed is upon top of just some hard ground soil, it doesn't have the ability to be able to dig down into the earth and get the nutrients. So it's not going to grow. It's just going to lay there. Well, the text also teaches us that the evil one snatches the word away. The evil one is identified as Satan himself. In the text, it says the birds comes and eats the seed. But it's represented in the fact that it's talking about the devil himself. Now, I want you to stop and consider that just for a moment. You teach somebody the word of God, and their hearts are very hard. They listen to the word, but they don't get it. They don't understand it. Maybe in some translations, and this story is recorded for us in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what happens sometimes is we can tell the story, we can plant the seed, but the heart condition of the person is so hard and trampled that the seed just lays there. That seed will not continue to lay there forever. Satan will come and snatch that seed away. Now, I'm not exactly sure how he does that, but the principle is that the devil does whatever he can do to take away the power for you or for someone to hear the word and it germinate in their minds and it produce fruit. So the devil can take it away. The significance of the seed not growing in that person's heart is that they're not going to be saved. Now, the very reason that we're teaching the word, the very reason we're sowing the seed, is so that it will reach a good heart and that seed will germinate and God will bring forth the increase. That means that they can be saved. So when someone hears the word and doesn't respond to it, they can't be saved. So let's make sure we understand what we're talking about today. Number one, if we go out here, we can talk to people about the Word of God. We can try to sow this seed. And you may be able to tell by just the way their body language is, their facial expressions, they could care less. What kind of heart is that? Like beside the road? And the seed that is planted, the word that is their opportunity to receive and understand, they don't accept it. And the devil will come and take it away. And this person is lost. Please understand that today, if you hear the word of God, the seed being broadcast, your heart is the soil. And when that word hits your heart, and if your heart is hard, and you don't understand it, you don't accept it, you don't believe it, you don't obey it, the devil's going to come and take that word away from you, and you're not even going to have it in your heart at all. And you're going to be lost. This is heart number one. Heart number two is along the rocky places. It hears the word with joy. There is a reception. There is an understanding. There is an acceptance to it. Yes, they're glad to hear the word. But maybe we have all experienced with someone, their joy seems to be there in the beginning. And the word is planted and they want to hear the word. They're excited about that, but they don't really have any firm root. Now, we wouldn't know that in that we wouldn't know their heart. But the way we find out what kind of heart they do have, if it is this rocky places, is that it's only temporary. How many times have we seen folks that heard the word and responded to it, and just for a short period of time they seem to be on fire, they seem to be so excited, and it just soon kind of fizzled out? Well, it was probably because of affliction, because of persecution, or some kind of something happened in their lives. And they just weren't strong enough to take that particular problem. And the result, they fall away. Through the years, my wife and I have had the opportunity to study with many, many, many people. And it's such a joy to be able to plant the seed of God's Word in their hearts. But there have been those that we have known that only lasted for just a little while. And then they were gone. And back to what they were doing, and sometimes worse. That is this heart. There's a third heart as well. And that is among the thorns. This heart, it hears the word. And when it hears the word, there are worries and cares of the world. Now, I must honestly say to you, which one of us does not have thorns around our hearts? Do we not have the cares of this world? Everybody has to work. Everybody has to live in this life. We have families. We have kids. There's school. There's all sorts of things. And God knows that. But if you've ever tried to garden, if you've ever tried to farm in any kind of way, you know, thorns and thistles and weeds are a result of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember that God told Adam the consequence of him sinning? He would fight thorns and thistles and weeds the rest of his life by the sweat of his brow? I don't think that that particular consequence was just when you're going to do something physical out in the yard or a garden or something. I think it was imagery of the fact that when you live your life because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're always going to have thorns and thistles. And we're going to have to, by the sweat of our brow, live the way God wants us to live. What does that mean? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Isn't it interesting that Jesus presents this third type of heart? This kind of heart not only has worries, but the deceitfulness of riches choke out the world. We live in a society where having money, having things, having all the goodies, I mean, you're just not an American unless you're really striving to be having all those kinds of things. And those things in and of themselves are fine. But if we're not careful, the weeds and the thorns can choke out the Word of God. It can choke out in the sense that it makes us unfruitful. And it doesn't take very long for us to find or understand what kind of heart we really have. Because there's so many other things, whether we're worrying. How many people, we've talked about this before, how many of us worry? How many of us are fretful? How many of have concerns? It might be because of the death of a loved one. It might be because of some disease or some cancer or some heart issues. It might be any number of things that cause us to take our focus off of God. To take our focus off the promise of the Word of God that we read and study about. Did you know that that's of the devil? Thorns and thistles are all around us. And it's looking to choke the Word of God. So when we sit and worry, when we sit and we are fretful, when we sit and we just cannot make ourselves come to do what's right and have faith in God's Word, then the thorns are choking out the Word of God in us. And we're not going to be fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to trust in the riches of this world. But we all like things. We all want things. And we try to think that we're the exception to the rule. We can have our cake and eat it too. Very few people have ever really been able to do that. Abraham was indeed a very rich man. But was he not a tremendously man of faith in God? Maybe we can be like Abraham. Maybe we cannot. Somebody said one time, and I think rightly so, if you were not given riches, remember what God said? He'll not allow any temptation to come upon you, but such is common to man, but with the temptation provide a way of escape. What's the moral to the story? God knows what our limits are. He may not have given you a lot of money because you knew you couldn't handle it. Maybe we ought to be thanking God. But we are blessed in this country, aren't we? Well, this text talks about those kinds of things can be deceitful. It can be choking us and we not even realize it. That's the third heart. The fourth heart is the good soil. It hears the word. It understands the word. It bears fruit. And I want to say that when we think about this kind of heart, isn't it obvious? You know, I think that all of us driving up and down 207 and other roads and so forth, we've seen the fields and all of that tremendous amount of rain that we had the first 6 months of the year. You know, it caused the crops really to boom. And I've heard several people say, you know, this is the best garden I've ever had. These are the best tomatoes, or this is the best corn, or this is the best that. And, you know, we just had a really kind of a bumper kind of crops that are coming on. Can you not see when the wheat is coming up? Can you not see when the word is producing? Can you not see in the person's heart? You can't see in their heart, but can you not see that the word that is in a person's heart, can you not see how they are growing and maturing and just doing so great and doing so well? Isn't that a beautiful thing to see? And there are some that are 100-fold. There are some that are 60-fold. There are some that are 30-fold. The people are different, and they will progress in different time frames. But you can see their growth. One of the beautiful things that I think all of us ought to be aware at this Anderson Church, we have grown numerically. And we need to be thankful to God for that. And I hear you praying and thanking God for the numerical growth. But maybe something we don't notice as much or pay attention to as much, but our spiritual growth. There has been tremendous spiritual growth on so many of you. Many of you, both men and women, have stepped outside of your box. You've stepped outside of your comfort zone. And you have taught classes and you've helped and you've done this and you've done that. And that's a tremendous thing. That is showing that the seed has come into a good heart. And it's producing both 160 and 30-fold in the sense of how you are growing spiritually. Now, when we consider that, that's a beautiful thing because it's a beautiful thing to God as well. So remember, growth in a local church can be both numerically and it can be spiritually. We hope and pray that it's both. When we consider this, I think that all of us want growth. I've mentioned this already a time or two before, and in case you didn't get the joke that Brother Phil, we're not going to have seats like that. You were the one who mentioned that, right? About the seat. Yeah, the seats are going to be like the ones we got. But would we still come if we just had seats like that? Well, we would prefer to have a little padding. Maybe we'd all bring our own little cushion. But you know, coming here, we have a beautiful building. We have a comfortable building. And I'm one of the first to gripe if it gets a little too hot in here, because I have long since understood if brethren get hot and they get uncomfortable and they're sitting too long on a hard pew, you're going to go to sleep, you're going to get uncomfortable, and you ain't going to listen. So I'm all for keeping you padded, keeping you cool, so you'll listen. so the seed can touch your heart. But it's a beautiful thing that we have the opportunity to be the people of God. And we will continue to see growth. We will continue to see the kind of harvest that God wants us to have. But that is the result of sowing the seed. Sowing the seed is the key. Our Bible classes have to be classes of the book. Our Bible classes have to be classes that teach the Word. It's all right to have crafts, it's okay to color, and it's okay to do these kinds of things if they are emphasizing God's Word. Coloring for coloring's sake doesn't teach the Word. The Word is the key. Preaching has to be about the Word. All of us have to be receptive to this great seed. It is the seed, the Word of God, that is the power of God to say. So when we consider that, that causes the increase of numbers. It's not the preacher. It's not the elders. It's not any one member. But it's all of us working together. And we work together to sow the seed. And what's important for us to understand the Bible heart. Here's the key to understanding the effectiveness of the seed of God. The Bible heart is the mind. This is the seat of where, this is the soil wherein the seed of God goes to. When you consider there are hard hearts and there are soft hearts. I think most of us realize when we talk to someone, even for a short period of time, if they have a hard heart, in the sense that they can be hard and harsh and critical. The person that is of a soft heart, they're receptive and they listen and they're more humble-minded. This kind of person that is hard-hearted, their faith is very shallow. They're constantly arguing about, do I have to do that? Do I have to come to this? You know, why do we do that? They're very critical. Their faith is shallow about seeing the importance of God's Word. But yet a soft heart is very deeply devoted. They're not concerned about, do I have to do this? They're concerned more about, what more can I do? We see the kind of heart that has worldly cares and pleasures. This heart is, you can tell by just what they talk about. You don't have to talk to a person more than 5 minutes. And you can find out where their heart is. Jesus talked about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, you can talk to some Christians all day long and they will never ever mention anything spiritual. Not a thing. What does that tell you? Where their heart is. But yet, those who love the Lord have a soft heart. They're deeply devoted. They're putting Christ first in their lives. Well, you understand that they have a good heart. Some people have bad hearts. But there's a great point to be made to this lesson. Did you know good hearts can become bad hearts? Aren't we studying that in the book of Hebrews? But the hope for today is that a bad heart can also become a good heart. God is able to turn your heart that may be trampled and you have no care whatsoever for God's Word. You can, through the power of God's Word, you can change your own heart. So that there's no misunderstanding. These four soil conditions, that's not something God has given you and you're stuck with it the rest of your life. You have been predestined, you've been foreordained, and you can never ever change it. That is not what this parable is teaching. This parable, however, is teaching that whatever heart condition you are, you can change it to good or to bad. So how would you know, leaving today, I hope each of you, when you leave today, that you're going to be asking yourself personally, which one of these four hearts am I? Maybe we could easily say, oh, I have a good heart. There's no doubt I have a good heart. Maybe we'd be a little bit more generous with ourselves than maybe we really are. But then there are people who are extremely critical of themselves. They're really down on themselves. And they might even say, oh yeah, I'm that hard-hearted guy. We all can change. There's not a hard-hearted person that cannot humble himself and soften his heart by hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. We didn't get to that in chapter 4. But in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to penetrate the thoughts of our hearts. This morning, you can leave having the seed of God in your heart, a good heart, and it's going to bring forth good fruit. But here's how you can really tell if you have this great heart. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're old enough to understand right and wrong, you're old enough to know that you have sinned against God, you're old enough to know that you need to become a Christian, here's how you find out what kind of heart you got. You walk out this door and you don't obey the Word of God as you know you should, you know what kind of heart you got now. But today, you could respond to God. You could allow God's Word to touch your heart, and it'll bring forth. It will not return to Him void. And you can be baptized into Jesus Christ, and you can begin to grow as a child of God. So you can know your heart. If you're a child of God and you've really not been living the way you ought to live, and you leave today in the same condition that you came in, you know what kind of heart you have. But if the seed, the Word of God, touches your heart to where it germinates and it changes your life, then you'll make the necessary corrections you need to make. So if you've got a bad heart, you can leave with a good heart. You might be here and have a good heart and you can leave with a bad one. The gospel calls. The seed is spread. We are the soil. We have the hearts. We will see what God's Word brings forth. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?